For those of you that might not know me, my name is Frank, and I was a total wreck. I was a mainline heroin addict. I was also in the mental institution, but God switched things around for me and brought me into a ministry where I could be free, and then took me to a school where I can go deeper in the Lord. And it was by the prayers of this church that God pulled me out of the muck and the mire. This church was the hand in the spirit that grabbed me and took me out. And for that, I am eternally in debt and thankful for each one of you. And praise the Lord. Mikey, if you could, you have the slide. Okay. So I've been in India for the last 6 months or so. You're about to see some slides of being in the slums and villages, churches, house churches, and Bible schools. It's been an amazing experience these last 6 months. I just want to share with you guys some testimonies. It's very hard to put everything to a very short period of time, but started off in the Bible schools, and it was just such a privilege to work with the Indian people. They're such a beautiful people. They're such a delicate people. They love you. They bring you to your house, and they serve you. They watch you eat while you sit at the table, and they just want to love on you. You know, going to the Bible school, it was so cool because you had a chance to really give yourself for the people. You know, Paul talks about, he says something like, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased not only to impart the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you had become dear to us. And it's just such a beautiful thing to not only just speak the word, but to really give your life for the people, impart your life. And they respond to this. We read books, they can read people. And they can read the light of your countenance, and it's just so cool to see that bond come in to one another. And I just remember at the Bible school, they would have me also lead the prayer meetings. We had one instance where we all came up and were taking prayer requests. And basically what they did was we'd get together for an hour or 2 hours, and they'd give me the microphone, and I'd have them, they would all agree with me in prayer. And God was answering prayers every day. We received one phone call. We had prayed for a man with a broken back. It took three men to carry him at all times. He was a Hindu man. He wasn't a believer. So we prayed for this man. We prayed for him for some 20 minutes, a half an hour, until we felt that God answered the prayer. The next day, the boy comes in with a testimony of how God had supernaturally come and healed this man's back while he was on his bed the night before. That night. So he wakes up and he gives his heart to Jesus because he knows God healed him. He no longer had to have these three men carry him around anymore. Glory to the Lord. You know, getting to work in these villages, I mean, what can you really say? It's so cool just to see the hand of God, the miraculous. You know, we're nothing, but it's just about something when you give yourself to the Spirit of the Lord and just say, Lord, where do you want to take me? Send me, you know. He just does amazing things. And for the glory of God, I just want to share one testimony. I'm in a tin shack with just a small group of people, maybe 10 people. And at the end of the meeting, after sharing and all, the woman comes up. She's deaf in one ear. And she just says she just wants me to pray for her. Pray for me. I said, okay. So I just said, you ear, you be open. And I clap my hands two times, like this. She smiles, she nods her head, meaning I can hear. She turns around, she skips off praising the Lord. These are the things that are happening, you know. I mean, just to be able to be involved in that, it's something different. And, you know, the purpose of being there is really twofold. You know, I'm learning a lot. And I hope to always remain learning the whole time that I'm living, you know? But I'm also, in spite of myself, God is using me to be a blessing. And one of the men of God that the Lord has put in my life is Pastor James. And It's really a blessing to have him, because when I'm not traveling with Pastor James, who is a beautiful man, he's been in the ministry for 25 years, I go to so many different places, by bus, by train, by plane, and usually I don't know where I'm going, the name of the place, I can't pronounce it, and I don't know who I'm meeting there. So I get off a bus at this place where the bus driver tells me to get off by myself, and then I don't know who I'm looking for. But the person who's picking me up knows to look for the white person. And I'm always the only one there. I guess that's faith, right? Just go. And I lost my cell phone on one trip, I couldn't contact anyone. I was very scared, actually. No phone. You're stuck in the middle of a place you don't know how to pronounce. How can you tell anybody where you are even? You know? But thank the Lord, the bus driver found that phone. So just with Pastor James, going to places like this, just in the middle of nowhere, and also to many churches. He's taken me to many, many cities. And how do I even explain what a day looks like? We'll get up 5:30 in the morning. We'll go to one church, release the message some 8 o'clock in the morning. Then we get back on the train, travel another 4 hours, go to another meeting, give the message, pray for all the people. There's always about some... 20 to 100 people that you pray for each one individually. God does so many things. And then by nighttime, you have a third message. It's nothing for in a weekend to speak 7 times. It's just 2 times on Friday, 3 on Saturday, maybe 3 on Sunday. It's normal. And during the week, it's so beautiful. James will just take me to so many people's houses. And we go in there, and he's so gifted in the Holy Spirit. He just comes... And in every house we go, he'll have 10, 15 words of knowledge, and everybody gets healed. And it's so cool. It's just so cool how he does that. He knows this person has a neck problem, this person has a knee problem, and the people say, yes, I'm here. And then suddenly he just prays for I couldn't move my knee like this. I couldn't move my neck, And then they're healed. I mean, I'm getting to watch this, and I'm learning about these things, And God slowly, he starts using you in them. But it's been great. The ministry has been going. James took me to so many different places. I think for 3 months we traveled together. And so many doors have been opened. And I just talked to him on the phone a couple days ago. And he said every place that we went to, he's been in touch with. And they want us to come back and do more meetings. They all want us to come back, and actually all the surrounding places that we went to, they all heard about the meetings, the testimonies that Jesus did, and I talk a lot about the heart and a lot about the cross and just giving your life, just give your life away, and the people want it. The people really want God. They've seen a lot of miracles. They've seen a lot of the supernatural in a lot of ways, but they want character. They want to... there's two sides of the cross. On one side, there's death, but on the other side, there's life. And they're willing to die to themselves so that they can really experience the life of God. And by the grace of God, the Lord is helping to give teachings to build up the character of the people, and they're hungry for it. It's not all about, as one man said to me, we thought we were Spider-Man or Superman with these superpowers, So it's so cool to see that they want character. And it's been an amazing place. I mean, that is such beautiful moves of God everywhere we went. I also want to tell you about some new things that have been happening. God has been very kind. Pastor mentioned that I've also went, just recently I went to the castles in Scotland, and it's a beautiful thing. I met a man in India over a year ago, and I sat down to have breakfast at this Christian Eye Hospital, where we're able to reach the Muslim people in a Muslim community. And a man sits down with me, about 40 years old, and he starts speaking to me in a straight Scottish accent. So I say, what is this? How is this possible? And he tells me that, you know, his father started this place. He took me to the leprosy camp with him also. We ministered. And he invites me to his place. And I went there about a year later. And, I mean, literally, I had no idea, but he married into the third richest family in Scotland. And his family owns not only a castle, but castles. So it was so cool. He invited me to Scotland, and I got to stay in some mansions and like real castles with real servants and real 30-foot tables with people serving. And you know, I learned part of the ministry is never to be judgmental, because sometimes, you know, cultures can drink more than others, and whether you're sleeping on the stone in the village just to meet the people, or you're sleeping in a castle in Scotland, the ministry is never to judge, but rather to come in a spirit of humility so that your heart can be open to give to the people and that they may receive. And God can make you a blessing wherever you are. Hallelujah. It was so cool. My brother, he invited me to go there because he's involved in Young Life there. It just started in Scotland. And I got to share with the men that are involved with the group there. And I also got to speak two times to a homeless ministry and to an alcoholic ministry, you know, and got to share there. And it's so cool. And then also, I went and visited my friend in Ireland, and they asked me to preach there as well. So I never thought that God would take me to all these places, you know, from where I came from, speaking in Scotland and Ireland. And I want to tell you about a new door that is just open. I'm going to, I had an invitation through the man that I'm under to go to East Malaysia. So I'm going to be going to East Malaysia come September, and then every trip at the end and beginning of going to India, I'll go there for two weeks to a month, 3 weeks or something like that. And West Malaysia has high tech. East Malaysia, no tech. So I'm going to see the jungle people. So the only way to travel is by the boats. And there's crocodiles in the waters. The houses are built on stilts. But the people are very hungry for God. And the person who's sending me there, Pastor Manohar, his family was the only other foreigners that they have ever seen. So there's only been one other missionaries that have gone to this place. A lot of them do know Jesus, but it's going to be a blessing to get to go there and just be able to perhaps be a blessing to those people. I don't really understand why God's sending me there. However, I never understand where God is sending me or how to pronounce these places. So I guess I just kind of keep saying yes to Jesus when I believe in my heart he's telling me to do something. And that's kind of what it's been like, you know, these last 8 months. I wanted to share these things with you, and I believe I'm going to share. I hope that was helpful. Was that helpful? Was that? And I do hope that was helpful. If you have any questions, please, please, please come and speak to me. And I'd love to talk about what the Lord is doing in more detail. I'm definitely free for that. It's my joy to share Jesus and what he's doing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, Pastor also told me that I could share for about 15 minutes, something out of the Word. And I do hope that this is a blessing to you. I hope that this word is an encouragement to you. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's preaching, but I'm just going to share a couple verses. And a testimony. And I believe that the Lord's Spirit will bless this upon our lives. The topic is enduring the cross. Enduring the cross. I'd just like to take a minute and pray again. Thank you, Lord. Lord, your house is a house of prayer. Your house is a house of healing. Lord, we are your house, and you can heal our hearts. You're a glorious God, Lord Jesus, and I just confess your blood. I confess your blood, God. It cleanses all sins, Lord. I confess your blood that it heals all diseases, Lord. I confess your goodness, Lord. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, and the redeemed of the Lord will say so, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, both now and forevermore. He is able to keep us from stumbling and present us faultless. Thank you, my Lord, my God. Lord, we magnify you, Lord, and we just pray, O delicate Spirit of God, won't you please come and open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word? Lord, encourage each one, Father. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would speak this morning, Lord. Lord, let this provoke us to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Enduring the cross. You know, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, even though he despised the shame. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, and we are to keep our eyes continually on him, so he is center. Especially when the next thing that it's talking about is the cross. Always keep your eyes on Jesus when the things that are following you are the cross. But these next words are very, very beautiful in this scripture. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus was able to endure the cross even though he despised the shame of it. How? For the joy that was set before him. You know, that's huge. Because we can endure the cross and despise shame for the joy that's set before us also. So it is imperative that we know what this joy is. I believe that this joy was for the joy of the Father's heart. That's how Jesus was able to endure. And for what would be birthed out of it. I think Isaiah had a sight of this when he was prophesying about Jesus in Isaiah 53:10. He had a sight of the heart of God for Jesus on the cross and what would be birthed out of it. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You see, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief. It was pleasing to the Lord, to the Father's heart. Well, at what time? When Jesus made his soul an offering for sin, when he was on the cross. Well, what it produce? He shall see his seed. Jesus went in the ground so that much wheat would come, many seeds would come. We have that seed in our heart. And one day when we see the Father, we will see him and be like him. Jesus, God will have many Jesuses. We'll all be like Jesus. Jesus will see his seed. Jesus, for the joy that was set for him, for the Father's joy and the joy of having us, for the Father's joy and what would proceed and be birthed from it. You know, we can do anything when we're and go through any cross when we're living for the joy of the Father. That's why we can say the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's God's joy that we feed off of. Lord, I can do anything. I can go through anything because it's for your joy. And what's going to be birthed out of it? And I'd like to tell you about a time in my life where I was despising the shame of a cross and how this helped me. You know, about 20 months ago, I was supposed to get married. There was a woman who went to the same Bible school as me. She was missioning in India. And we met. We felt the Lord was in it. So we prayed. We were going to be wed. And we were doing things the Indian way, honoring their traditions. It was an open thing. People in this church found out about it, the people in our Bible school, and the place where God turned my life around, at Pure Life Ministries, they also knew about this, and we were getting married there. And it was interesting because she also grew up in the church that was on the grounds there, so everybody knew the both of us. But it was 2 weeks before the wedding. We weren't in sin. Nothing happened, but she just said that she wasn't ready to be married. And that she didn't have anything in her heart for me. That was very hard. As a matter of fact, that was the hardest thing that I've had to go through as a Christian. That was a cross for me. It was really hard. All the people knew me. All the people heard about it. I felt foolish. They should have waited longer. They really didn't hear from God. So many thoughts come in your head. Despising the shame. But you know, my brother called me from India. And he reminded me that God is sovereign. And he told me, you know what? The Lord allowed this thing into your life. And this is his good pleasure to allow you to go through this. It's just good pleasure because what's going to be birthed out of it? When I got off the phone, I got on my knees and I began to weep before the Lord that I can even bring pleasure to his heart. And I thank God so much that he would allow me to go through something like this. Though I did not understand, I knew it was going to birth something. I knew he was doing something even though I didn't understand. And the joy of the Lord became my strength. In the words of Job, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. I can go anything for the joy of the Lord. And it did. It burst something so beautiful in my life. It took me so much deeper in Christ. And for that, I am forever grateful. You know, in that time period, something happened. You know, when weight comes like that, you either want to run away from the Lord or to him. Those two things happen. But what I found is when you press into God, he himself upholds you. You know, there's a beautiful, and we're not to let that weight force us away, but rather let it force us to our knees. Go closer to him. And he will uphold us. He will sustain us. There's a beautiful verse in Psalms 63:8. It says, my soul follows close after you. Your right hand upholds me. So as we follow closely after God, his right hand upholds us. It's very beautiful in the Amplified Version. It says, my whole being follows hard after you and clings closely to you. Your right hand upholds me. And that's all I could do. What else can you do when every word you read in the Bible, you feel pain? Whenever you speak to somebody, that's where your thoughts are. You have to cling to Jesus, and he himself will uphold you. But I found another beautiful truth. When you begin to go after God like that and seek him, you begin to find satisfaction of soul. You know, I just talked about Psalm 63, and in Psalm 63, you see a man who is in a desert place, who is hungry for God, and it leads to satisfaction of soul. Verses 1 and 2 say, Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. This man is in a place where there's no water. He's dry. He's hurting. He's got a cross. He's despising the shame. But what does he do? He seeks God because his flesh and heart cry out for the living God. So he goes into the sanctuary and he's looking for God. He's looking for God. He's seeking God to see the power of God and the glory of God. And you know what happens? He gets a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. He gets a revelation of the Lord. I want to just ask you, do you have that revelation of the Lord that his loving kindness is better than life? And then verse 4 into verse 5 shows how when we seek the Lord, we get that satisfaction of soul. Verse 4 and 5 says, Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, literally meaning fat abundance. We're going to get fat on Jesus. Life and life more abundantly. Life and life to the full. Life overflowing. Life pouring into you from the heavens. Praise the Lord. But you want to know something? When those weighty times come, that's when you get thirsty. You're going to drink of the world or you're going to drink of Jesus. You're going to go away from God or you're going to go close to him. And that choice is in you. You have a sovereign place in you that God has put. It's the will. And God can't violate it and neither can the devil. You have a choice. These are the things that I found when I was despising the cross. Excuse me, despising the shame and enduring the cross. So I say to you here today, if there's any of you who has a cross that you need to endure, you're despising the shame. Maybe it's financially. Sandy wiped out your house and you're hurting because of that. Maybe it's something physical, some kind of illness. Maybe it's a sin that's in your life. Maybe it's something I haven't mentioned. But if you have that, please, beloved, look to the joy of the Father. Know that he is good and that his mercy is endures forever. Know that he's going to burst something in your life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You can endure anything for the heart of the Father. One thing that gets me in the story of the prodigal son is that the father's making merry and the other son never even cared about the father's joy. Live for the father's joy. Trust in who he is and seek the Lord. He will uphold you. Don't go away, but go close. And when your soul is thirsty in those times of the desert place, choose to feed on Jesus and you'll have real satisfaction of soul. Amen. Let us pray.